This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Rock and roll, baby. It's a Friday. By the way, did you know today is Friday?
Is today Friday?
I know that I'm hard.
I like that. That's very good. Fridays are the best, right?
International Happy Hour Day.
Yeah. International Day of Love, maybe? I don't know. Is it?
Is that a thing?
I don't know. I just made that up.
Isn't that like Valentine's Day?
If you could do an international house of anything, what would it be?
Pot.
Okay.
Yeah, that was my first thought as well. Yeah.
The International House of Pot.
We call it IHOP.
IHOP.
Yeah, dude. Instead of like the, and then the smile that has it, except the O's would be like squinted.
Squinted like,
and there'd be a little tongue hanging out of the mouth like, sup, man? No, in all seriousness, International House of, you know what would be cool? Is like, you know how they have those places that have like 50 style of burgers?
Yeah, okay.
What if you did International House of Omelets?
Oh, I like that. Bunch of different omelets out there, right?
Normal meat. Yeah. And I know some places you go to, like the Big Biscuit.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wherever you go, like those franchises, they've got like the Denver, the Montana, you know, whatever.
Do you really need a, let me ask you this, do you really need a menu though for omelets? Because it's like about 5 different ingredients and that's all usually back there in the kitchen, right? I mean,
but if you have the International House of Omelet, you'd have like a chili cheese omelet.
But don't you have the chili cheese already back there if you're doing a chili cheese dog or something like that?
No, it's just omelets.
Oh, no, I'm saying any restaurant. Like you could walk into any restaurant and just look at their menu and say, okay, you guys have a chili cheeseburger. Can you throw some of that chili cheese into an omelet, right? Like they would be able to make that for you. If they have it on hand, you know?
So if you go hiking, you know, you can have your friend make tuna sandwiches. No? I finally do a Seinfeld reference?
No, I get it. It's just, deep and like, I'm just picturing I can't remember his name now.
Do I get a pat on the back?
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, puts the hat on back.
Yeah, Dan puts that, it was like,
what the hell? Making some sandwiches, like tuna fish?
Yeah, what the hell was his name?
I can't remember.
Dan Cortez. And I'm just picturing him hanging
on
the
jogging jacket.
Yeah, but he's on like, he's trying to climb the rocks and they're hanging there and George is like, do you want the tuna fish sandwich? Was that episode on yesterday?
Might have been freshly been viewed.
That's fine. You go for it.
Side
man.
Note, like that is actually not a bass guitar.
It's a keyboard.
Yeah. Ruined my childhood. I thought there was just some guy on set like Stings back there.
Yeah. The live band on the sitcom like 1952 or something like that. Yeah, we got the live band today. The guys over there smoking a cigarette playing the bass guitar.
So last night was college football semifinal number one.
What
lived
a
up
way
to the hype.
Start, man!
Lived up
right?
To the hype.
Yeah.
Boring first half.
Boring
can
first
I be
half.
Honest?
Yes. Yeah.
Because I tweeted and was like, I don't think this game's gonna make it to 8:30. Shut up.
Yeah.
Don't press in.
No, that's the thing. You can't judge these games. They never get good to the last 5 minutes, right? I mean, that's kind of weird. That's why we call it the witching hour, right?
That fourth quarter was disgusting.
Yeah, that was fun, man. But the back and forth, and then 75-year-old Carson Beck, congratulations, collecting AARP, getting that touchdown there at the end and running into the end zone. And, you know, and then controversy abounds on the last play, and everybody's, you know, complaining about that. There's no controversy there.
What?
But,
because
should have been pass interference been. Or whatever the
and
case
I'll explain
may be.
Why it should have been. Okay. Those refs made that game about them for
they
the
did.
Final 5 minutes.
They did. They there absolutely
was,
did.
There were and I'm just telling you, Kirk Herbstreit called that out. And I think Kirk Herbstreit yep. is a very fair broadcaster. I would not mute Kirk Herbstreit.
No, I like Kirk Herbstreit a lot.
I
on
like
college
him
in, especially. Yes.
I like him and Fowler. And I know not a lot of people like Jeremy Fowler, but I think Fowler adds to Kirk Herbstreit what Kirk Herbstreit adds to the what you're watching. Like mm-hmm. he kind of play-by-play color, right? Like play-by-play, it's like we'll take Mitch and Dana for an example. We know the role. Mitch goes until Dana knows it's his spot to be like, okay, the play happened. I'll explain what happened here. That's kind of how that works. Real easy. It's almost the opposite, but they have the same title,
mm-hmm.
right? Like Kirk Herbstreit basically is the guy.
Right.
And Fowler's just there to kind of tee him up.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that Kirk Herbstreit, when he said that, he goes, boy, these refs have really made it about themselves in this last few yep. minutes. And then that play, if you watch it, that play is what they had been calling all the way up to that point. And when they showed it, he had his arm or his hand tucked into his like inside. But also the receiver was fighting a little bit too. So to me, in my opinion, in normal play of game, that's a great no call. But the way that they were calling that game in the fourth quarter, that 100% should have been called. And by the way, that wouldn't even have been the game because this isn't the NFL. It's
right.
not a spot
it's
foul.
15-yard penalty.
It
had
gone from
yeah.
the 40 to the 25.
Yeah. So well, it should be in the NFL as well. You think so?
100%. I think there should be two different ones in the NFL. I think they should treat pass interference like they treat red cards and yellow cards in soccer. Yellow card, accidental, didn't mean to happen, but you're booked. Red card, the guy was on a full breakaway and you took him out because you're preventing a goal.
Yeah, but then I'm sitting then here
you're,
judging
then it's judgment.
What, yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
But
yeah.
if there's a what, like, because we saw a pass interference early in the game on Ole Miss where the guy definitely got behind him and he had no, Kirk Herbstreit blasted him. He's like, he didn't know where he was.
No, yeah.
And he just completely tackled the guy totally. Because he knew that in college, that's a 15-yard penalty. But if you did that in the pros, I would say.
Which is
that,
why in college, it's a good strategy to do pass interference.
But
in the pros, it's not.
Yeah. And so in the pros, if that's a breakaway, kind of like in the NBA or in college, right? It's a playthrough foul or in the NBA. If he's got a full ride of the dunk and you hack him, and it, like,
you're doing flagrant or flagrant two, basically.
Correct.
Yeah, that's what you're doing. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know that we trust the NFL refs to make a judgment call.
Well, we don't even know what a catch is in 2026.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, there's too much muck in the NFL when it comes to officiating. Back to your catch thing,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And, like, why do we have to, after every play, have to slow it down? I don't know. And it's a clear, like, just move on. Like,
because this replay is brought to you by
exactly,
Geico.
Exactly. Right? I mean, we dramatize everything. Like, now the kid yesterday, the Tony play with the one-handed catch. I mean, what a sick catch.
Gosh.
His foot was clearly out. We didn't need 10 minutes to,
nope.
you know, to review
he can't
that.
He can't be related to
no,
Kadarius.
This guy
he
catches.
Caught everything.
Yeah, this guy's good. Yeah,
he's
really good.
18.
Yeah,
damn.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's
Miami's
like Ryan
young,
Williams
dude.
From Alabama last year, being way too young to
wow.
be playing. Yeah,
yeah. Carson Beck is basically like their father.
23
years old.
He is. I mean,
24, 23.
It's nuts that he's been in college 7 years.
Seven,
right? And I saw an interesting tweet this morning from Mark Mangino. Shockingly enough, we were talking about Mark yesterday. Yeah. Maybe we'll get him on the show. Right? Come on, Mark.
Chris Fowler. Sorry, not Jeremy Fowler.
Oh, gotcha. Dude, whatever. And so he tweeted out. He goes, 3 years in a row now since you know the college football playoffs have been going on that the SEC does not have a team in the national championship game. He goes, now that everybody's paying players.
That's actually good.
Yeah.
Let's give me that. Give me
but
that one, Mark.
I will, as I did that minor rant, I will say this. That play didn't affect the way I viewed that game.
That You're talking game about
was,
the last play
yeah,
of the
that
game.
Game was
no,
awesome.
The game's great, man. It was great fun. It, the team that nobody that wanted is there.
Yeah, and you kind of felt like True. Once like Ole Miss gave up that rushing touchdown to Carson Beck, you're like, damn it.
And then you know, we still had drama at the end.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
yeah, they were at the 35-yard line in two plays. That was awesome.
And with like 13 seconds on the clock, it was a boom, boom. They're right there.
Yeah,
like, oh, my God.
We do this in 5 years and go back, and we think about, we're like, where did that guy go to college? Oh, he was on Ole Miss's team. That's right. He was one of those receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, where the – I mean, again, great game, fun game, teed it up nicely for what tonight is, which is Oregon versus Indiana. Indiana 3.5, right? That's the,
yep, three
that's
and a
the
half.
Line. So Cignetti, one more win away. And he goes and meets Cristobal.
Could you imagine that? Miami, Indiana for the national championship
wow.
in football. It's really cool. It really is. Cool. And Miami's playing at home, which is even cooler. You know, they get that opportunity because that's, hey, look, that's where the championship game is. And, you know, that's where they get to play. And the team that nobody wanted is there. And really, last night watching Miami win, and I don't know if people were rooting for Miami, but it's really reminding me now of the Cinderella run in the NCAA tournaments that we all talk about. Because this was a team that wasn't supposed to be there, like a, you know, a George Madison or Mason or whatever team's Wisconsin's beaten Kansas early, you know, not supposed to be there. And then you look up and at the end, they're like, oh my God, they're there in the Final Four, like a George Mason, a VCU type of team. So, I know it's different, but
I love that analogy, but I think it's, instead of being George Mason, it's one of those, you know, SEC teams that had like a 19-11
record.
Yeah,
like record, that Syracuse team that one
you're
year.
Like, you're like, oh, they got it. They got in because they're Syracuse. Yeah. And then all of a sudden they get in, you're like, okay, so maybe the committee knew something, that they have good talent and they are a good team. They just had a really bad loss. But at that point, it's like, you know, six and one hand, half a dozen in the other, where Miami got in. Miami's defense is the best defense in the nation.
Oh, they're
the sick
on defense, yeah.
They're
and
great.
Maybe the committee got it right. Miami should have probably been in if they're in the national championship.
Yeah, they did.
They beat Ohio State.
Yep.
They beat Georgia.
Yeah.
They beat A&M, and they beat Ole Miss.
Yeah, I mean, they've beaten two SEC schools as well and whatnot. And look, the committee made the right decision. All those people out there complaining and bitching about Notre Dame not being in, shut it, because now Miami's in the national championship game. And, you know, it was really like they validated it. I mean, yeah, shut up. I mean, they're in the national championship game.
I will not.
Oh, this team didn't belong here. Everybody's complaining and moaning and groaning, and they're standing there in the national championship game. But for me,
I don't think that's relevant, but continue.
No, I would say it's like that Syracuse team that had to win like four games in Madison Square Garden, win the Big East tournament. They did that. Then they get into the NCAA tournament. They win their first couple of games there. Like, everybody's like, oh my God, there's Syracuse doing some good things. But look, the committee made the right decision. Miami's playing for the national championship. They're the team that nobody wanted. They've got that chip on their shoulder, which I love too, because everybody's always looking for a chip. You know, for years, Bill Self used to create chips on the shoulder for KU. Tom Brady did that. Patrick Mahomes has done that. The best did that. Miami has a legit chip on their shoulder. It's like, nobody thought you belonged.
Nobody believes in us.
Nobody believes in you. Everybody thinks you stink. You're crashing the party. You're not supposed to be here. 3 weeks later, here we go. Miami's playing for a national championship in Miami. And I think it's really cool. And I kind of like the Cinderella run for Miami. It does remind me a little bit of the NCAA tournament. You get caught up in this kind of stuff. And that's why the college football playoff is good. That's why NIL is good. Paying players is good. We could have an Indiana-Miami national championship. That's cool to me.
Do you think that comparison will ring true? Like when the Cinderella, it's Cinderella, and then they get blown out. Do you think that happens
in the national championship game?
I don't think Miami's Cinderellas in basketball make it to the Elite Eight, Final Four, and then it kind of all comes crashing down, right?
Yeah, but it hasn't yet for Miami. I don't think they're going to get blown out. I don't think Oregon or I think they can beat Indiana, quite frankly. I think with that defense, they can beat anybody.
I think the Cinderella story doesn't really have a huge issue if it falls flat, because once you, like in the NCAA, if you make it to the second weekend, you're already on house money.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's the whole point of like, okay, well, you got this far. If you, whatever happens, happens, right? Like, you've made it this far. Like, Chicago making the playoffs, if they beat Green Bay, they don't have to win the Super Bowl.
No, they're on
right?
house money.
That's it. Like, you're good. We didn't expect you to go much further than this, but you beat Green Bay. So, like, we'll give you some. But, like, anyways.
Yeah, the Royals win that wild card game. That's house money. And then they go and do what they did. I mean, it's kind of like that. The Royals, the Royals didn't
play. And you're certainly disappointed because you got to that point. You started thinking about the opportunity that arises when you're like, oh, we're playing the Yankees and we actually got to win against you. We can pro. And then you lose. And you're like, damn it.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Trent McDuffie, only a year older than Carson Beck. Brock Bowers is younger than Carson Beck. Derek Stingley Jr., been in the league for a while, 1 year older than Carson Beck.
I remember his dad was in the league.
You remember Jalen Carter?
Yeah.
He's only a year older than Carson Beck.
How does this guy got 7 years?
Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs, same age as Carson Beck, been in the league 3 years. I hate Carson Beck. I don't hate anybody. I don't like Carson Beck.
What is he going to the NFL?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
He will 100% get drafted. He made NFL throws last night.
Yeah,
he did. He made a couple. Yeah, he'll be a top three at least, probably four. Top four at least, I should say, round picks. Top four rounds.
Can I see him getting drafted 1 through 8? Where another team is like, ooh, they're like, if he wins the national championship and plays good, you know he's going to fly up that draft board. Especially if they beat like Oregon, right? I mean, or even Indiana, the top two quarterbacks in this draft. Yeah. If Miami wins, everybody's going to be on Carson Beck.
Yeah, look what happened with J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah. But I'm just telling you, this is the way the league works, man. I was thinking about it again last night with the names we know. And Carrington had a tweet of like, if Nathan Shieldhouse didn't grow up in Kansas City, would you want him? And it's 100% true. You know the names of these people. And then you start rooting for them and all this kind of stuff and whatnot. But, I mean, watching Carson Beck, man, if he wins this national championship and beats either Indiana or Oregon, which he will, he's going to beat a quarterback that they believe is a top two pick in the draft. And you know he will shoot up that draft board immediately because that's what we do. Oh, my God, look what Carson Beck did. Mm-hmm. Throw out the 6 previous years or however you've rated these players up until this point. He's got moxie. He knows how to win the big one. Blah, blah, blah. He will fly up those draft boards, which is good for us.
It's great.
We need more quarterbacks flying up the draft
board. Just sucks he's not going to go in the top eight.
I'd be surprised, but it's a long time until April. We know how much changes.
Oh, God, yes. Some quarterback's going to have small hands, and somebody else is going to have a knee that's not placed right.
Small arms.
Yeah.
He's playing for national title. Like, look at all those defensive players that'll play for national title. Main stage.
Yeah. And Michael Irvin will be there.
Oh, I'm done with them, dude.
Has anybody overstayed their welcome more than Michael Irvin, maybe? I'm trying to think.
Yeah. Keep thinking about it. We'll bring it up on the other side of the break. Plus, we'll talk about what Andy Reid had to say about being close, and we'll give you a hypothetical as well here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
This is Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Where will the people with their Kim Crawford complain today? The Leawood City Hall is closed.
Come to downtown Lee Summit. I'll take care of you.
All the Karens out in Leawood today with their Chardonnay going, where do I complain about something? The City Hall is closed. Go get another glass of Chardonnay there, Karen. Get bent. Come back on Monday. We'll be open.
Maybe Sat. One other
question. Nah, it's Town Hall, man. They're not open on the weekends. No That's way. It. Who's overstayed their welcome in sports more than Michael Irvin, do you think?
Whew, man. Because they had a bunch of, like, old school. Like, I love the photo last night. They had, like, Olsen and Portis, Reggie Wayne, Andre Johnson. Like, those guys. Dope. Michael Irvin, you played at Miami 40 years ago.
Love Cam Ward being there, too. That was cool.
Yeah.
Kind of becoming a part of it a little bit.
Yeah.
Lane wasn't there, was he?
Yeah, I think he was, wasn't he?
Lane Kiffin?
I thought he was going to these games.
I didn't think he was
no,
there.
No, he wasn't there. I could be completely wrong.
Yeah, I don't know
why I thought that. Maybe I did. No. I don't doubt yourself if you know he wasn't there.
Yeah, I don't think he was there.
Okay. I did see a tweet by him. He tweeted like a broken heart emoji. And, you know, these guys were great, you know, one of those things. Yeah, because he's out money. He thought he was going to get $1 million bonus if they were going to the national championship game. Imagine making a bonus on what somebody else does.
You think he hedged it and put $1 million on Miami to win last year?
That seems like a Kiffin move. Right? What would happen if that did happen, though? Like, if they found out that Kiffin put $1 million, like, he'd be out. He'd be done.
For sure.
Right? I mean, you're gone. You have to be gone, right? Him and Hurley could go out together if he did something like that, right?
Who's richer of the week? Is that for you guys?
I did not pick Hurley as my Richard of the Week. I'll I do have somebody else in college sports. You can have Bob Hurley. Is it Dan Hurley?
Dan
Hurley. Yeah, Dan Hurley. Richard of the Year. I mean,
start. We're only 9 days into the year.
Wow. Well, this is going to be a tough one to beat.
Seriously,
11 months and 20 days.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, though, think about it. This is going to be a tough one to beat what Dan Hurley did, man.
Like, Bob Knight Hurley.
Yeah, seriously. Gosh. Like, it's up to those levels right now. Yes. It's 2026, and, you know, his antics can't, you know, continue to be had. He's kind of a jerk.
He is. He's an a-hole.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, he's a jerk.
Yeah. Somebody should probably email about what he had to say.
Yeah, that's an HR.
Yeah, right?
That is an HR complaint.
And that's a justified one.
Just Google search Dan Hurley up, and you'll see what he had to say to the, I believe it was the referees.
The referees, yes.
Two words that, probably shouldn't say at all. Right. And the fact that he had those in the holster lets you know.
Yeah. Dusty said that to me earlier. I'm like, yeah, imagine that. He had that ready to go.
Yeah, what's he saying in practice? What's he saying in the locker room?
Traffic.
Yes, seriously, in his car.
At the grocery store.
Town hall closed.
Kiss my ass. Yeah, he's pissed the town hall of Leawood's closed today. He's got nowhere to bitch. Find a ref.
Price of eggs. By the way, I think they're 99 cents this weekend at Hy-Vee.
Yeah.
Oh, we got it to 816. Skip Bayless is overstayed his welcome.
Yeah, but is he still staying? Like, I know he's on like X and stuff like that, but is he still around? Is he still kind of relevant?
Yeah, if he's on your screen, that's probably on you.
Yeah, at this point in time. Well, any of, you know, like Stephen A. Smith, I know some people are mad at him, you know, and whatnot. Maybe he's overstayed his welcome and things like that.
No, because they're paying him to stick around.
They are, yeah.
Yeah. Was that receipt? Garrett Dieter?
Yeah.
He kind of he's holding on to 2018.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. He's fighting Mitchell Schwartz, it seems like, on X, you know. Did you catch that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is going on? Get out of here, dude.
I'm here for the Mitchell Schwartz Garrett Dieter beef. Yes. Yeah. Where do I sit for this one? Give me my popcorn. Mitchell Schwartz and Garrett Dieter are beefing.
Go tell him, Patrick. You know, we're friends.
Yeah, man.
BBL stinky.
Hey, we found out why. This was Andy Reid on what went wrong in 2025.
We had 10 or so games that were determined by, you know, 7 points or less, you know, one score. And so, and those were the 7 we won last year. Well, why? You got to go back and you look at penalties in crucial situations, turnover in crucial situations, you know, those things. You got to really evaluate those and the whys of that. Drop balls, long drives, including everybody, the end of game drives, that you could have either scored on or were scored on, or special teams put you in a position. You got to look at all those things. And so that's a part of the evaluation process, going into the off season, make sure we narrow that thing up and make sure we're on the right end of it.
All right.
That sounds a lot like it's a lot on Andy Reid.
I was just going to say the same thing. That's all coaching. That, like, everything that he mentioned there is coaching. Penalties, turnovers, drop balls, late game. That's all discipline.
Stalled drives, and then he goes, and then special teams, and then cut himself
off. Yeah, right. Yeah, because special teams was atrocious. I mean, we haven't had a return since COVID. I mean, special teams is, yeah, one word on special teams, Tobe. But I think, Tube. Yeah, Dave Tube, man. Tube. But one score games, that is coaching. Like, that's discipline. That's taking care of the little things. And they didn't take care of the little things this year, because when you take care of the little things, then you get big results. I mean, we talk about that all the time. Ah, it's just the little things here. But that's discipline, and that's accountability, too. Penalties, turnovers, drop balls. Remember years ago when that LeSean McCoy fumbled the football? We never saw him again on the field, right? A couple of years ago, and he's still complaining about that and whatnot.
You talking about overstay their welcome?
Yeah, talk about guys that overstayed their welcome. That guy got a pair of shoes. Yeah, that guy, Charles Amenahu, is another guy that maybe have overstayed his welcome. He's battling fans now on X, and somebody goes, at least Tyrann Mathieu, when he battled fans, actually did something. Yes. You got paid to do cardio this year, which is true. Like, I forgot Charles Amenahu was a guy on the team.
Total no-show.
Like, complete no-show.
Disappointment.
Like,
you guys be
zero.
Careful. He's going to come after at Mac Morey and at Bob Fesco.
Fine. Come after me. I mean, your play speaks for itself, yeah. Chuck.
I don't need to be an All-22 guy to know that.
No. I mean, I didn't hear his name at all this year.
Never heard of him.
Like, literally did not hear his name. But so you go back to those one-score games. That's discipline. That's accountability. That's all on the coach. And I think Andy probably did it that way to let everybody know, I'm taking the blame for this. Without saying I'm taking the blame, he could have gone out there and goes, well, our line didn't block, and our running back stunk, and our quarterback got hurt, and our receivers this, that, the other thing. But he listed all those things. That's Andy Reid, I think, in a small way anyway, telling everybody without telling everybody, I'm handling this one. Mm-hmm. This is on me. I really did not have a good year as the head football coach. And those are all things that you look at when teams are bad at the end of the year. A lot of penalties, a lot of turnovers, a lot of drop balls. It's concentration, it's accountability. You fumble the football again, you're out. Hey, Juwan, one more penalty, you're gone. And that never happened. We never saw accountability for mistakes that accumulated over time, and that is on coaching. The failures of this season are on Andy Reid.
Mac, you want to get in on this?
Yeah, I agree with that perspective, Bob. I think that's probably fair. He should change the framework of his answer, because they weren't close. He starts, oh yeah, really close games. Stop looking at the score. Like, we watch those games. Yeah. Penalties, discipline, and stop talking about drops. Like, the guys weren't open. Yes, drop passes happened, and those killed us late in the season with must-win games when you shouldn't have already been in that situation. Like, to me, like, that answer kind of was worrisome, because if we're talking about drop passes, if we're talking about little miscues, like, this team's way further away than just some little miscues. Like, if you're, it's like when we talk about what the roster needs, and then all of a sudden we're talking about 53 positions. Like, once you start listing these things out, once you start actually talking it out, and it seemed like Andy Reid started to do that. Oh yeah, we're close, and then list 17 things. Yeah, you weren't. This team needs change, and I'll just say, I Matt Nagy not re-signing that contract, not getting that extension, and choosing to do what's best for himself and go off. I think that could be the best thing for Kansas City, because if not, the only change this team was going to get was Connor Embry.
But it also depends on how Andy utilizes that change. If he just 100%. Brings in another, you know, guy that's familiar, that doesn't do anything.
Now, like, both of your comments parlay each other.
Yeah.
And we know things about parlay. They get harder and harder to accomplish when you put more and more together. But yours is, this is on Andy.
Yeah.
And Max is, this is on Andy. But Andy also has to realize that he's not as close as maybe he thinks he is. So by putting things together, as in new OC, new wide receiver coach, hopefully a new running backs coach, hopefully some more some different voices, you put that together, it can pay off rather large. Sure. If one of those things doesn't work, there's no chance.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also think, too, when you start to, you know, boil it down and look at all this stuff, I'm actually glad they went 6-11. Because if the other reverse happened and they won all those games and we're sitting here talking about it, and maybe they limp into the playoffs at 10-7 or something like that, we're probably not going to have drastic changes, you know, at the end of the season, or changes, I should say. I don't know if there's going to be drastic changes. Roster-wise, there will be. I don't know if there will be coaching staff-wise, you know, drastic changes. They fired the wide receiver coach, and I could have done that. I mean, like, seriously, I could have coached the wide receivers. I say it all the time. Like, I'm not sure what this Embry guy was doing. And so I think, right, like, that's not a major change. It is a change that needed to happen. It's not a major change. And if Matt wanted to come back, he could have signed an extension last year. He chose not to sign an extension. Yeah. That's telling, too.
It is.
It's both. But, I mean, he chose not to sign an extension.
No doubt.
Yeah. No, I think that, yeah, the comments that you hear from Andy, and he lists all those things, like, it's one thing if you were 8-9 and missed the playoffs and – you know, a few games that, you know, Travis Kelce in the Philadelphia game, Travis Kelce in the Houston Texans game, Chris Jones in the Jags game, and you finished 8-9. Those are three games you can go back to and be like, we were this close.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Yep.
That wasn't the case. The offense was as stale as year-old bread.
Mm-hmm.
There was no creativity, and you put all of the pressure and everything on your quarterback until it broke you.
Yeah.
And to me,
literally,
that is all coaching. That is all, okay, how can we make Pat more, you know, how can we take him out of having to think he's got to do all this stuff? Well, he's running all the time because, A, he didn't have time to either have the play get set up because one of many things. The receivers coach didn't have these receivers' routes crisp up and ready to know where they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have the game plan as sharp as it should have been. And as much as we've talked about this year, and I don't want to use it as an excuse, but it did show up, obviously, in the season, the fatigue was there.
Yep.
Right? Three straight trips to the Super Bowl, playing all over the place. That's going to add up, but it hadn't in the past, and now it did. And that's how come it didn't happen in the past? Because you were coached better than the past to be ready for that.
Yeah.
How come it didn't happen this year? Because you weren't prepped well enough for this season to get going through all the motions that could happen. And it just one thing piled after another, after another, after another, which lets you know that they aren't that close. They need to tear it down, rebuild it, and keep some of the same things. You don't necessarily have to, right? When you get a new car, you don't forget how to drive.
Right.
You just have to learn how to drive that car, right? Like, you still know the ins and outs, where my blinkers are, where the everything is, the everything. You still know how to drive, but you've got to adapt to the new vehicle. And that's what the Chiefs need to do. They got to get rid of the old car. It's time to move on. Stop putting money into that old car. Stop changing the, you know, this. Stop worrying about this. You know, all these things.
Stop fixing the Johnson rod.
Maybe it's time to get a new vehicle, even though you may not like it. You might have to pay a little bit more early for it, free agency, running backs, receivers, whatever, defensive linemen. You're going to have to do that. But in the long run, it's going to make the drive easier. Mm-hmm. It's going to make you less worrisome. You're not going to be like, oh, engine lights on. Is that a sensor or is that, you know, tire pressure alignment? I don't know. But it doesn't make sense to keep putting money into an old vehicle that's not going to keep you secure and safe than it does to just maybe go ahead and buy that new car.
Yeah.
It sucks. Nobody wants a car payment, especially in 2026. But you know what? Do you really want to wake up every morning and be like, I don't know if I'm getting to work today. I don't know if Kareem Hunt's going to be able to get us 60 yards and a couple of first downs. You know what? You know what I do know is if you get a young and good, elusive running back, yeah, it might be expensive, Breece Hall, but you know what? I don't have to worry about if we're going to run the ball today.
Yeah, and I don't even think the Breece Hall money is expensive. I mean, and again, I am as anti-free agent as there is. I'm not a free agent guy. I think it's a fallacy. I think it's a fraud. I think it's a fake way to build your team. But if you need one major position and you have an opportunity to get somebody like a Breece Hall, that's one that I would have that exception. I'd be like, yes, pay Breece Hall that money because he's 24 years old. He doesn't really have a lot of wear and tear. He's played for the Jets. He'll be champing at the bit to come here to a winning organization if they have the opportunity to sign him and bring him here to Kansas City. And I just don't think a 10 or a, let's say an $11 million per year investment for 3 or 4 years, I don't think that's that big a deal when you've got a $50 million quarterback that's the best at that, you know, this organization, yeah, maybe the world has ever seen. You've got to start investing in him, because I hate to be that guy, and we've talked about it. The dude's getting older too, right? The dude's getting older, and now he's coming off an ACL. He's over 30. He's got a bum knee. Why wouldn't you invest in around him to accentuate everything that he can do and not have to put all the pressure on Patrick Mahomes? Not getting a running back this offseason that is a legit bell cow running back would be a major fail, I think anyway, by the Kansas City Chiefs.
What's it look like next year if you miss the postseason with the Chiefs again?
Well, I can tell you what it's going to look like next year. You're going to start hearing from the Nationals. The game has passed Andy Reid by, and that will be what people say next year if this team has the same type of deal at 6-11, right? I think that's what people will say. And if they do go 6-11 next year and have like a really bad year, where you're like, oh boy, I don't know if there's any way out of this. I know next year they're not really anticipating a 15-2 season, but I don't think anybody's anticipating a 6-11 type year.
And on
right?
paper, as of now, the schedule does not look very promising. It looks tough.
It looks tough.
I think every schedule looks
tough.
That's
what I said now.
But I was looking at the Giants schedule yesterday. I'm like, damn, there's not a win on this thing, right? 11-5. You know, it's like, it's weird how it works in the NFL with that kind of stuff. There are teams that are good today that are not going to be good next year, like Chicago, Jacksonville, all these teams that are like playing the last place schedule in for the first time. Let's see what that, you know, run looks like next year. Mm-hmm. And now that they're a team that everybody's gunning for as well, how do they handle all that? There's a lot of factors into that. But I was right with you. I'm looking at the schedule like, damn, this thing looks tough. But if the Chiefs do go 6-11 next year again, or it's like 7-10, people will start saying, look, the game has passed Andy by. We saw this in Philadelphia, blah, blah, blah. And if that does happen, I think we need to start advocating for Sean McVay, a trade for Sean McVay to come here to Kansas City. Like, I'm being serious about that. I was talking to somebody in the league yesterday about it, and they're like, he's kind of getting tired of the LA thing. He's got the family now. And whatnot. And I'm like, what do you think? They go, I think if they have another bad year in Kansas City, you have to make that call out to LA, right? You have to, because Andy's got 3 years left on his contract. So after next year, there'll be 2 years left on his contract. If they go down the tubes again, you're getting ready to open a brand new stadium. You can't have a bad product on the field.
I mean, yeah, like give me Michael Jordan in his prime. Like, yeah, I want a top two, top three head coach, of course.
But I think you have to in Kansas City now. You've established Andy Reid. You've established this program. You're going to be asking for people to pay PSLs. You want to continue to you know, be the world's team. You know, they coined the world's team. You can't go out and hire Matt Eberflus as your next head coach. I'm not saying they would hire him, but that's just a name. You have got to go out and say, we just came off of Andy Reid. We've got to go even bigger or better than Andy Reid. If you're going to be the world's team and open a new stadium and charge for PSLs, you can't have a Matt Eberflus out there running your franchise as the head football coach, because that's not going to get buy-in from fans.
Absolutely agree. It's imperative that they continue this success and continue on an upward trajectory.
I don't think people really do understand the importance of maintaining this as you get ready to open this new stadium when you're asking people to pay PSLs. If you're asking people, let's just say $3,000 a seat for a PSL, you got four seats, that's $12,000. If you're 6-11, 6-11, 7-10, and now all of a sudden you're asking people to pay PSLs, the last 3 years, you've stunk. The Chiefs right now have so much incentive to keep this thing moving in the right direction and to make sure that they're on top, because in 2031, Andy's contract's up. You want to walk into, you know, the new stadium and have Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback with Matt Eberflus as your head coach? So I think we have to start thinking forward about what that's going to look like, because I just don't think the Chiefs can afford to really take a major step back with the new stadium getting ready to open and you asking for PSLs.
That's why whoever this new OC is needs to be from Brett Veach and Clark Hunt. Those are the top two guys who need to be in charge of this OC hire, because your backup plan can't be, all right, three first-round picks. Hey, Rams, please help us out. It's got to be whoever this guy is the future. Nate Shieldhouse, Mike McDaniel, Cliff Kingsbury. It's one or two, maybe 3 years of learning under Andy Reid, and then they are the future. They're the next head coach.
Yeah, maybe.
That's what this hire is.
Yeah, maybe. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I mean.
But you've been on this radio show for years. Matt Nagy's the next head coach.
Yeah.
Why shouldn't this OC hire be that same thing?
I think things have changed, obviously, within the organization, right? I think that's, you know, and that's why things change constantly, right? Like, what's true in 2022 may not be true in 2029, right? What was true, you know, yesterday, get more evidence, may not be true anymore. Things change and things evolve. And so, you know, The Nagy thing was good because of the relationship with Patrick Mahomes. He had been there. It looked like this thing was going on a great trajectory. 6-11 happened. Everything is open for discussion after you go 6-11. And you got to keep your quarterback happy, too. Let's not forget about that, right? You've got to keep 15 happy. If you don't, he's going to look around and go, this ain't working anymore, right? So you've got to keep that guy happy. You've got to keep your fans happy. You've got to keep everybody happy as you go into a new stadium. So I think when you go and you do that, I'm going to hire this guy to be the coach in waiting. Number one, that guy never makes it to coach in waiting in college, right? And I hate the coach in waiting type of thing as well, because what if you find out that this guy you nominated as the coach in waiting isn't the right guy?
For sure. And then you get to make that to change.
Yeah.
Or you get stuck with.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Dave Tube.
Tube.
Get Ben. Yeah, sure. No. So let me ask you this. So you obviously, I think fantasy land would be Sean McVay.
Yeah.
But my take on the whole thing is at that point, if the Chiefs go back to back, let's say they go 6-11, hypothetically, they go 6-11 again.
Mm-hmm.
And people start questioning your.
And they will. You know they will. It's an easy topic.
100%.
Stephen A. Smith will start yelling about it. And, you know.
Well, the funny thing, too, is they won't wait till the end of the season to start talking about it. It'll be like week 7. Yeah. Be like, oh, the Chiefs are, 3-3. And
has the game passed Andy Reid by?
We'll be talking about it, too.
Yeah. Stutter. My take is, would the Chiefs' job still be that team of desire at that point? Mahomes would be 32-ish.
Yeah, I still think as long as Patrick's. I do. Okay. I mean, yeah, I think there's still that
would
mystique.
Would that still be a job where it'd be like, well, Sean McVay can't say no to that?
I mean,
would
Matthew Stafford's 110, right?
Yeah, but he went and got Stafford 4 years ago.
Yeah. How old is Stafford now, though?
37.
37, 37 so, 38. So, yeah. So say he comes here in 3 years, Mahomes is 34. About that same age, right?
Yeah, I think Mahomes still will have that pull, but will the rest of the team be in that state? Is it going to be a total rebuild around 15, or there's going to be some other pieces?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot to talk about with this team. People are like, oh, the season's over. What's going on? A lot is going on because of all these hypothetical situations out there. Because, again, you're right. Guys are right. If they go 6-11 next year and they don't start great, the calls will be happening by the national media early on of, uh-oh, we're seeing it again with Andy Reid. The end of his tenure in Philadelphia didn't go well. Now the end of his tenure in Kansas City may not be going well. What's going on? And that's where we will get at that point in time. And I don't want to get to that point in time. Like, I want them to flip the script, obviously, and turn it around and be back in the postseason next year. But the reality is you're coming off a 6-11 season and everything is open for scrutiny.
Everything's open on the text line, 913-586-7965. What is the best rivalry in sports? Twitter posted the question yesterday. We'll dive into some of those responses, plus yours, and give ours. What is the best rivalry in sports? Your home for Kansas City Sports, 96.5 The Fan.
This is Voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Loving some of the responses here on the text line when it comes to the best rivalries in sports. Somebody says this from the 913, Bob, you can get bent on Sean McVay. When Andy leaves, I want Mike Vrabel.
Kind of the same thing. Neither team's getting rid of either one of them.
Neither of those are happening.
At least Vrabel played here.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You just can't call yourself the world's team and not be on top all the time, right? Like, at least with the Dallas Cowboys going by America's team, they were winning. They were the TV ratings. All of that kind of stuff was there. Anytime they played, they were on. If you were going to coin yourself the world's team, you cannot sit there and have some loser be your head football coach. You just can't.
Mm-hmm. Somebody says from the 816, Dan Lanning is the heir apparent to Andy. Let him win his national championship this year, and then let's get it going.
Yeah, I'm not into bringing college coaches into the NFL. They fail every time.
Yeah, I'm good on that as well. I know you're in on that, though, Dusty. You're a little more in on
Harbaugh
that plan.
Yeah, Harbaugh's been with the L.A. Chargers 2 years.
Yep, made the playoffs both times.
Three years now. This is his third year. That's one guy, though. The majority of them come in and fail. I'm not interested in any
Matt
college
Rule
coach.
Failed. Saban failed.
Yeah, well, I mean, you just go through the list.
Meyer failed. Yeah. Steve Spurrier failed. And to maybe this point as to why they failed, they're not the model of what the league is, right? Like, we're seeing a change of the guard in the league. Like, younger coaches are becoming more prominent in the league. Like, Harbaugh just got fired, Andy Reid's his second tenured coach. Tomlin's on the hot seat, at least in my opinion, still. Those guys are older. What guys are we praising right now? We're praising the guys like McDonald, McVay, Shanahan, those type of guys that are maybe the new wave. And if that is the case, like, you either figure out if it is or you don't. And that's just kind of the unfortunate part of life. Like, you're going to have to take a chance. And sometimes that chance is the best chance you took. And sometimes you have to own it and be like, you know what? That was a failure. We're sorry. We learned our lesson. But
again, I don't think it's about the age for me. It's about the ability to... These college coaches, as we've talked about, they're like the king of a fiefdom, right? They rule the roost. They own the town. They own the university. Everybody looks up and worships them. Then they get into the NFL and they try to do that same type of stuff. And you got guys in their 20s and, you know, early 30s going, bro, I make like six times what you make. You know, you don't have credibility. This rah-rah stuff that you did in college, it just doesn't translate to the pro. You don't really see the correlation in the NBA and college basketball either. You know, Coach K, Roy Williams, Bill Self,
Patino.
Tom Izzo. Patino didn't do that great in the NBA.
That's what I'm saying. It was bad.
Yeah, but all these guys that just never even went to the NBA, right? Yes. You know, like they didn't even go to, but Patino's an even better example of a guy who did go to the NBA and really didn't do that great, but then comes back to college and dominates because these college coaches are put up on this pedestal and they're looked at as the program. When you come to the NFL, you're not the program. Your players are, and they know that too. And so I just don't think it works because I just don't think the college coach for the majority of these guys has the ability to translate that going from the leader of this fiefdom to being the guy that, yeah, you're the head coach, but that's Patrick Mahomes. Sorry, man. Like, he carries more weight than you do.
We asked a question because Twitter came up with the essay, what's the biggest rivalry in sports? I don't know if you guys have one. Max probably says Tennessee-Florida, which, again, wouldn't hate it. But the text line says Michigan-Ohio State. I don't know if it's really close. They go on and give a reasoning for that and say, which I do love on the text line, if you say something like, I love when people are like, clown take. And I'm like, okay, but what's your rebuttal to that take? I don't mind what you say. Just give me some sort of definitive like response. He says, because Ryan Day couldn't beat Michigan for how long and people call for his job all the time.
That's a great text. It really is. I mean, that shows you what the rivalry means, right? That's a guy national championship, but you didn't beat Michigan.
And
we
did
want you fired.
Same thing with Harbaugh. Like, he couldn't beat Ohio State. Right. Like, dude, you've been here five years. It's either got to happen this year or I'm sorry.
I mean,
like,
they were talking about firing Harbaugh up there for not being able to beat. Yeah, that's
the
a good
Ryan
one,
Day man. Harbaugh story was the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Ryan Day couldn't beat Michigan, but then he won a national title. And then this year when they played Michigan, it's like, well, it's like, dude, he just won a national title in a crystal ball.
Yeah, right.
Like, let's calm down. It's like, nope, Michigan, right? That's why, like I say, when Chicago and Green Bay play, if Chicago beats Green Bay in round one, they don't need to win the Super Bowl this year. They can talk about that next year, but they will win that rival, which is another one of the points. That's another great rivalry in sports, in my opinion, is Chicago-Green Bay. And luckily, we get that this weekend in what you could not imagine as being one of the best sort of atmospheres for playoff football. We are in the Windy City. 30-mile-an-hour gust wind, accumulating snow throughout the entire game. Going to be an absolute blank show. But that's playoff football for you.
That's great playoff football.
And it's Packers-Green Bay. Yeah. Lakers versus Celtics or Yankees-Red Sox?
Yankees-Red Sox, okay. I think, is the premier rivalry in professional sports. There's not many more rivalries in professional sports, right? Like, not like it used to be. Like, we talk about the Raider thing all the time. Mm. Is it really a rivalry, right? I mean, you got to live up to your end of the bargain and whatnot. But, Yankees-Red Sox is always big because, look, it's on TV all the time. People will watch. You know, people pay attention whether you have a dog in the fight or not. You're watching that game. Ohio State-Michigan is another good one. I think the Cardinals and Cubs is a good rivalry as well when it comes to baseball. But there's not that many of them anymore. I think more of the rivalries now are skewed towards colleges. And even that's not the thing anymore once we had realignment. I'd love to put Kansas-Missouri up there as one of the great rivalries. But when you go a decade without talking to each other, you know, maybe that's why it isn't.
But it doesn't
rivalry.
Take much to reignite.
No,
that
it really doesn't. But it doesn't carry the weight nationally. You know?
No, but you put that on the schedule, and everyone sees it. That date gets circled immediately. Yeah. Like, I'm going to Arrowhead to watch Mizzou versus KU play football. Mm-hmm. I'm going to Allen. I'm going to not the Hearn Center is what it used to be called. But I can't remember what it's called
the
now.
The Page, I think.
Okay. Somebody says best rivalry me versus Cornhusker football. When I put a curse on them since 2017, they're the only college football team to go under the win total every year.
Take the under.
Army Navy.
Great.
Greatest rivalry in sports: the Chiefs versus inside the 5-yard line.
That's good too. I do like that. Yes. Royals and finding a stadium site's another good rivalry. Yeah.
United States versus Canada hockey.
That's a good fun one. Yeah.
Somebody says Bink versus marriage.
Oh, no.
Jeez,
man.
Bink and Dusty take versus the NFL draft being a top three sporting event. Iowa State is there. Somebody says for hockey fans out there, the St. Louis Blues versus Chicago Blackhawks.
That St. Louis-Chicago rivalry is
good. It's a good one, yeah. Trying to think like Islanders, Rangers.
Yeah, that's a good, decent enough rivalry. Yeah.
My biggest rivalry in sports is Nick Sirianni versus your fan base.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. Yeah. Big Dom versus, you know, Scataboo.
Chicken Parm.
Yeah.
That's a rivalry. That I don't want to get in the middle of
man. Who wins America? That battle? Yeah.
Somebody said on the Twitter post the biggest rivalry in sports is Angel Hernandez versus the Strike
Zone. That was great. Yeah, I love that one. Yeah.
Great one.
It was fantastic. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. My gut versus Taco Bell from the 816.
Damn right.
Mm-hmm.
State of Missouri versus state of Kansas.
Yeah. Not 100%. A sports rivalry, but a life rivalry, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I still think's dumb.
It's the dumbest thing ever. It really is. It's so stupid. As long as the teams are here, who cares where, you know?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, college rivalries definitely reign supreme.
Oh, yeah. Auburn is a good one, obviously. Oh,
so good. Iron Bowl's great.
Every year.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Auburn's irrelevant. It doesn't matter.
Nope, like it's going to be a good game.
Alabama and Auburn roll into town.
We haven't mentioned AFC North, the whole AFC North.
Rivalries. Yeah. Lame Kiffin versus college fans.
Yeah.
He's got a rivalry with basically every school out there because he's left everyone.
Right. CDOT versus Kansas drivers. And then just the winner in the clubhouse in this conversation is Michigan, Ohio State, because it's nationally known, many other local state rivalries.
Yeah, I do. I like the Michigan, Ohio State one with the reason that the guy gave right away. Yeah, we're talking about firing coaches that have won national championships because they can't beat each other.
Insane when you think about it.
Somebody says, why is Bink catching strays before 7 a.m.? Because you guys are mean sometimes.
That's right.
But hey, I have to read everything. I'm like Ron Burgundy. Good night, San Diego. Go F yourself. Yeah. Texas, Oklahoma. Red River Shootout.
Great one.
Is a solid one.
Did you see that kid just transferred from Texas to Oklahoma?
Good.
I mean, that was Arch Manning's roommate, some wide receiver transferred from Texas to Oklahoma. That just goes to show you nobody cares about these rivalries anymore because, you know, 30 years ago or whatever it was, I'm not transferring from Texas to Oklahoma. No, absolutely not. I'm not going to that team.
I think we can end it on this one. I think you fellas would agree. Biggest rivalry in sports, Steven Spector versus Fun.
Yes.
Let's talk about the East Village on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Royals.
You're listening to Bob Fesco.
I'm surprised nobody punched him in the jaw yet.
And Dusty Likens.
He's a hoe, and I want that known.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.